Jesus said, "Blessed are the persecuted," and they are suffering big time right now. This is Bible League International, and 19-year-old Aria was beaten by her own father and violated by local authorities. You know what her crime was? Simply that she gave her life to Jesus Christ after leaving radical Islam. They need Bibles in order to endure and persevere. And that's why Truth Network and Bible League are teamed up to send God's Word to 3,500 persecuted believers around the world at $5 a Bible. $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD. Word 800 yes word or give at truthnetwork.com.
Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast. Our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Coming to you from an entrenched barricade deep in the heart of Central North Carolina. Masculine Journey After Hours, a time to go deeper and be more transparent on the topic covered on this week's broadcast. So sit back and join us on this adventure. The Masculine Journey After Hours starts here now.
Welcome to Masculine Journey After Hours. We are in the middle of finishing. Middle of finishing. I meant it that way. Thank you for laughing, Andy. It was not humorous as I thought. I didn't mean it to be. But we're in the middle of our last stage on the masculine journey, are we not? Andy, that'd be you, the microphone.
Yeah.
This okay. is your, it's your week. It's your topic.
Yeah. Glad this is about over with.
Yeah, so we've had 6 weeks of going through this.
12 stages,
yeah. Exactly. That's for... That's what they used to do in the Old Testament, but we've shortened it to 6 stages.
I think you're thinking about school where you repeated each grade twice. Well,
that could be. I was kind of wondering if it wasn't AA.
There you go.
That's steps, Jim.
So back to the 6 stages of the masculine journey. I know we've been talking about it for 6 weeks now, but you want to recap just a little bit?
Yeah, real quick. Boyhood. That's ages 0 to 12, Cowboy Ranger 10 to 20s, warrior 16 to 30 and beyond, lover late teens and beyond, king 30 to 60s, and the sage 50 to 90s. We've talked numerous times about the key points of learning and how is it wounded in the other stages, but I'll go through the sage real quick again. It's not the time to check out, time to offer counsel and wisdom, bringing weight and learning to younger men, knows God as friend, which is, to me, that's key. I mean, that's the good part of life, you know, and that's when you're around the time you have grandchildren and stuff too, right? Lives in deep communion with God and not an expert, but somebody who has mastered some of these things through life, you know. So how it's wounded, you know, through dismissal, like you're riding off into the sunset, treated as no longer relevant, old school, yesterday's man remains undeveloped if the man does not take the journey or fails to learn from it. So I think, to me, the biggest thing in the stage, if you don't learn from your mistakes, you're still unfinished. You're still just like any of these other guys that didn't get what they needed in the other stages. What I think is important, I was thinking about, was just a sage, you just... People experience pain by not doing the right thing, and you can either experience the pain and learn from that, or you can learn from somebody else's pain and not experience the pain yourself. You get it secondhand, and I think that's what sages offer a lot of times is what to do, but what not to do as well.
Yeah, I think in that part where you talk about that they're unfinished men, mm-hmm. I can't really say who this person is. Well, they're no longer around, but I watched closely and then also from a distance later on, this person kind of refused to move past a certain point in their life, right? And I'm not going to deal with it. They just became more and more bitter, right? His life kind of came at him because life comes at all of us, you know, and it comes at us pretty wickedly a lot of times and very painfully. They just became more and more bitter. And as this person got into his elder ages where he could have been a very good sage because he had not let any of that stuff learn from it, move on, and was so bitter that no one wanted to be around him, including his family. Yeah. You know, and it was just so sad, but it was also very much brought on not letting God father you.
Yeah.
Right? Just stepping back and saying, no, I'm going to deal with this on my own. I'm going to shove it down. It doesn't matter. Whatever that case is, the enemy got a hold of him. And it's just very sad because he could have had the opportunity. He had lived enough life in a lot of different situations that he could have been a very powerful sage, but because of that part of it, was unable to fulfill that.
Yeah, I think the important part about sages, too, is, as we're going through life, I know I wanted to do it alone. We were talking about the man on the island and that kind of thing. I was sageless in Seattle, I didn't want anybody to speak into my life because it would reflect what I didn't know or where I was incomplete. But once you come under it to where you're open to being fathered, when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear. I mean, when those things happen, then you open yourself up, then everybody becomes, well, not everybody, but you weed out who's a good sage or not, but you allow people to speak into your life, and it's much easier to get through life whenever you're being fathered by God through other men.
Yeah, one of the things that's not mentioned in our little list that we have here that's important about the sage stage is a sage will point you back to God, where an expert is what they call the other person. Right, an expert always brings you back to them.
Right.
You come to me for the answer. Come to me for the answer. When eventually, the sage is going to give you good advice, but eventually it's going to lead you right back to God.
Yep. You have to think about the definition of expert. That's a has-been drip under pressure. Do you want to go to that kind of person?
Not necessarily. Danny, you have a microphone now, and you have the first clip. That's amazing how that works. You're the first
clip on the second show. So,
well, it's still a first clip.
Yeah, it is.
It is still.
The record still holds.
It's an asterisk to your streak.
Yeah, it's got. Yeah. There'll be. And also competed, That.
Yeah.
Glad Rodney's not here to pick up on the sports.
You're Mr. Congeniality. Yeah, that's right. Of the clip world.
Yeah, this clip is from Blue Bloods, and it's when I think of sages, I immediately go to thinking of grandpas. Because, the older folks, and I've had many, many sages in my life. I figured God figured I needed a lot of wisdom poured into me because I did a lot of stupid human tricks. But this is from an interchange between Jamie, who's the grandson, who is Tom Selleck's son, and his dad, Tom Selleck's dad in the show, Henry, and an interchange where they're in the kitchen, which lots of wisdom poured out of that kitchen and lots of anger sometimes. But at the interchange, and Jamie's asking him a question, and Henry pours into his life over a piece of pie, or a whole pie, actually. But anyway, you can play the clip.
Busted. What? I just got my second wind. You want in?
No. But I do have a question.
Shoot.
How'd you feel when Dad stopped reaching out to you for help?
When did that ever stop?
No, I mean, back in the day when he was coming up, he used to say that he had you on speed dial for like a decade.
And along came that fateful day. June 6, 1982.
You remember the date?
Francis was excited because he had managed to defuse a war between two Chinatown crime bosses. Everybody else was excited for him. I realized he'd never so much as mentioned it to me.
So it stung a little bit.
Maybe more. But I was proud, too, knowing he was able to strike someone out because I taught him how to throw the forkball. So what didn't you go to him for? Busted.
Just this thing with this retired cop, but I handled it.
Handled it or handled it well?
Both, but Eddie thought differently. I keep wondering if she was right, and I was just being defensive.
Here's the dirty little secret about climbing the ladder. The higher you go, the more you second-guess yourself.
Yeah.
And with marriage, it's third and fourth guessing. So I'd say you're on the right track.
Thanks, Pop.
Now get out of here so I can finish the pie.
Yeah, so Henry has been police commissioner. He's come up through the ranks. And here's Jamie, his grandson, who's coming up through. And, it made me think a lot of, my own father, who's soon be 80. And, the wisdom he's poured into us when you can kind of, as we've talked about, go to him and kind of pry stuff out of him sometimes. But, also made me think a lot of my father-in-law who passed away last year. And ironically, Tuesday would have been his 70th birthday. And, you know, there were so many. I watched his grandkids come to him. You know, my son would go to him. I went to him, you know, for wisdom. And, you know, he would share his strengths and his failures and things with you and help you get to another place. And that's just, you know, to me, that's what Sage is about, is that, you know, God puts those people, like Andy said, in your life, and it's whether or not you use them. Because I've spent this last week looking at this stage and think, man, I wish I'd have pried a little more when this person was around or when that person was around. And, you know, because there's so much there. There's just a wealth of knowledge and wisdom and that, you know, you miss out on. So
yeah, there's this arrogance, especially as you're young, that it's just grandpa or it's just whoever, yeah. Right? Yeah, they're just spouting off about something. And then you realize the older you get how much value that would have had. And how many mistakes you could have avoided if you just would have sat down and either asked or listened when they were offering. And so, Harold, you are the resident sage here, just not only age-wise. We give you a hard time about being age, but you are just a very delightful man that gives great advice. You don't speak often, but when you do, it's well-received and it's very needed. And so we thank you for that. But I want to turn it kind of over to you to talk a little bit about your experiences with Sage or whatever you want to talk about on the topic.
Well, first of all, thanks for the compliment. I appreciate it, even though at times I don't feel like I deserve it. But one of the things that is written in the description that Andy gave is being a friend of God. And that's something that just astounds me, that God would consider me with all my faults and failures to be a friend. And yet he does. And he's gone way beyond what we would consider friend to extend to me the grace that I don't deserve, but that he gives to me. The other thing is that at this stage of life, you have to learn to let things kind of roll off your back like water off a duck. My sweetheart has a way of calling me a dinosaur, reflecting technology, and that kind of hurts. I hope you're listening. because I was in computer programming, systems analysis for nearly 44 years, and yes, the technology I worked in was not what is current, but logic doesn't change. Smart doesn't change. And so what's missing today, I think, is that so many of the people that are really whizzes at the technology don't have a clue on how people operate and what needs to be done to make things better for the people. Forget how pretty it looks. Make it simple and easy to work with, and you'll be more successful, in my opinion. And Jim, you look like you have something to add.
Well, it's amazing how much you can learn when you start with an abacus and you work your way up into cell phones. You've done it all. And I can say that seriously because I used an abacus when I was a kid. But that used to be the computers.
Yeah, when I was in college, we had slide rules.
Yeah.
We didn't even have handheld calculators at that stage. But I do treasure the times that I can hopefully help somebody by sharing some of my mistakes and say, you know, watch out for this. One of the things that I would caution people in this stage or below is stay away from pride.
Mm-hmm.
Pride will be your downfall. You will lose all credibility, and you won't be able to help anybody with anything.
And he's looking at me as he says that.
We all are, Jim.
No, I appreciate this group so much because I am quite a bit older than everybody else. I just turned 81 a little bit back. But I've been welcomed in, and I've been treated as a peer, and and just to let you know, when you're old and yet you get treated like you're younger, it's a wonderful feeling to be a part of a group.
Thank you, Harold.
And for over a year now, Harold, you have not been old. You are now not only a sage, but you're venerable.
A word I'll have to look up after the show. Or I'll Google it, David, just you know, like you do. Harold, I do want to come back to you in just a little bit about who was a sage in your life. And so I want you to think about that. And if I remember, I'll get back to it at the end of the show. But David, you're up with the best o Miyagi.
Yeah, it's a Miyagi extravaganza.
It is.
So for me, you know, almost everyone in this room has been a sage to me at some point. No, I'm kidding. Everybody has definitely spoken life to me. And I'm not saying that because, you know, I'm young and everybody else in here with me is old. I'm just saying that, you know, I found this band of brothers at the right time when everybody could be at some point through the last year of my journey a sage to me during that. So I just wanted to say that. But this, my clip is all the best, well, some of the best quotes from Mr. Miyagi. There's a lot of them from The Karate Kid. But we'll take a listen to it and come back and talk about it a little bit.
To make honey, young bee need young flower, not old prune.
Well, at least I have come.
Walk right side, safe. Walk left side, safe. Walk middle, sooner or later, get the squish just like grape. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important. Wax on, wax off. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. And look eye. Always look eye. Come back tomorrow. Balance good. Karate good. Everything good. Balance bad. Better pack up for home. Close down yourself for person with no forgiveness in heart. Living even worse punishment than death. Never put passion before principle. Even if win, you lose. Rule number one, karate for defense only. Huh? Rule number two, first learn rule number one. Miyagi father always say, best way to avoid punch, no be there. Listen, lie become truth only if person wanna believe it.
Is that another old Okinawan saying?
Bonsai, choose own way grow because root strong. You choose your way to karate, same reason.
No, but I do it your way.
One day, you do your way. Sometime better be butter on full stomach than empty one.
Oh, great. Great. Another great thought, huh?
You know, he said a lot of funny quotes throughout the movie, but he said several ones throughout that definitely spoke life into Ralph Macchio, who played Danielson during the movie. One of them that I really picked up on is... paraphrase it basically was, if you win without passion, are you really winning? And I think a lot of times, when
you put passion before principle,
yeah, passion before principle,
yeah,
yeah. And, thank you. I thought I had it on my phone, but I didn't. That technology we were talking about.
I interrupted you, David. I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, I'm used to it. So. but you know, at the stage, you know, unfortunately I can't really speak on that, because I'm, you know, nowhere close to that age yet. I still got a little while to go, but, you know, we were having a conversation earlier before the show started, that we talked about where necessarily age isn't necessarily a factor in this age. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. I don't think it has anything necessarily to do with a numerical age or how long you've been on this earth. It could also do with your spiritual age as well. You know, I've met people throughout my life in just this year or previous that, you know, were younger than me, older than me, that would speak life into me, or God would use them to speak life into me. You know, just in the profession that I do, on an average, I see about 3,000 people a day. And I know I've met people from that were knee high all the way up that just you can see that in them as they're walking through whatever walk they're going through.
Yeah, I think even, you know, David, you're clearly in the king stage as far as, you know, what you do and all that. But in any of those places, if you're walking with God, you have the opportunity to speak sage into somebody's life. You know what you were saying there, and the opportunities are there. you know, I've had my kids really speak into my life in ways that, yeah, definitely, they're not sages yet age-wise, but there were things that they said that impacted me as if it was from a sage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, which is pretty cool. We've got one more clip that we'll play. This is my clip. It's from, and then we'll come back and talk about some other stuff, but it's from the original Fellowship of the Ring, I believe, and this is when Gandalf and Frodo are in the mines of Moria, and Frodo has seen Gollum, Sméagol, following them, and that's right, and Gandalf's aware of it, and so they have this interchange, which is pretty good. I didn't keep that in here, and then Frodo's reflecting back, and he's saying to Gandalf right at the beginning of this, I wished that this hadn't come to me. I wished I wasn't on this adventure. I wish I wasn't in this place in my life at this moment, which I think we've all said that at some point. And so listen to what Gandalf has to say to him, and then we'll talk about it.
I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of this had happened.
So do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. There are other forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides the will of evil. Bilbo was meant to find the ring, in which case you also were meant to have it. And that is an encouraging thought.
What I like about this little short clip is you have Gandalf that truly listens to what Frodo has to say, and that's something a sage does. They listen. They're not ready to give you an answer. They're not going to jump in with the answer. They're listening to what you have to say and then thinking on it for a minute and then entering into the conversation, which he did. And then in that conversation, he really tells Frodo what he needs to hear at that point, that, you know, you have what it takes. You know, this is for a reason. There's a purpose here. And you have what it takes to get through this. And I think a sage does that a lot of times, is they remind you of things that are long forgotten or that the enemy has stolen from you, right? That you wouldn't be in this position if you didn't have the opportunity or the ability to with God's help, to get through it. And so the question that I turn to for you guys is just, again, thinking about sages that's come along in your life. And I tell you, this is a great exercise to do. I hope that all of you at some point do the sonship talk, because that is very impactful to look back and see how God has kind of woven people in your life, in and out of your life, just when you need them. So just kind of throwing it out there. Anyone want to talk first? Robbie, you have something?
Yeah, one of the gigantic sages in my life was when I was in the car business. I worked for Royce Reynolds, who owned the Crown Organization. And I was about 33 or 34, so, you know, trying to own the world in the car business, so to speak. He had, you know, unbelievable faith in Christ. I had was nowhere close. But interestingly, where he approached me was where my interest was. He said, you know, Robbie, if you don't study and read and try to learn what you're doing, you know, you'll never get any further. The ones that really succeed are the ones who spend time studying and this and whatever. And he put, you know, the series of Power of Positive Thinking in my hands, probably knowing well that the opening said you're supposed to get up an hour early every morning and read the Bible, which was really a life change thing that was spoken into my life that radically changed the entire direction I was going and would go for the rest of my life. You know, with one, you know, just piece of advice, at exactly what you said a sage does. He pointed me to God without me knowing he was pointing me to God, you know, and by offering that phenomenal wisdom, just to get up an hour earlier every morning and read the Bible and pray to do it, it changed everything.
Thank you. Anyone else have a sage they want to talk about? Harold?
Well, mine would be a gentleman named Brad Brumley. He was the preacher at Columbus, Mississippi when we moved there. And he completely changed my attitude toward church, because I had grown up in small churches without elderships, where it was constant fighting to see who's going to get to have their will carried out. even if you had to go get the town drunk to come in so he could vote. But it was different. Brad Brumley was one of the smartest people that I had run across. He had a very raspy, almost difficult to listen to voice because he'd been in a car wreck that killed his wife and his larynx was crushed. But, you know, you almost had to strain to hear him, but you wanted to hear what he had to say because it was wonderful. So he was one of the sages. There were others, but he's the one that comes to my mind. My second son is named after him.
Wow. Anyone else have a story they'd like to share? Jim?
Not sure why this came to me, but I was with him a few weeks ago. I've had, as I mentioned earlier, there have been several people that were in my life at an appropriate time. One of those was Steve Brown, and started on the radio and became a groupie, and saw him every chance I could at the Cove. And my wife and I were there about a month ago. But he was the first man where I looked in his eyes and I saw Jesus looking back, where I absolutely knew that's who I was seeing. And it was very impactful for me to hear from him that God wasn't mad at me, because I made a lot of mistakes, as we all have. And it was really the focal point of his ministry is grace. And there are other ministries that have grace in the name, but they're talking legalism most of the time. But that he gets attacked for it, but he basically preaches grace and does it in a way that is funny, and it touched my heart. And I really appreciated getting a chance to talk to him and tell him that he'd meant so much to me.
Andy, we got 1 minute. Did you have something?
Yeah, so just the whole group here, I've talked about it many times. So many have spoken in my life. The one that I want to talk to about, though, is Harold. You know, coming from an IT, a fellow IT guy, the whole dishwasher story and how he was analytical and how he went about that problem and how that played out in his life and his relationships with his wife and stuff. It was really eye-opening to me, and it was a sage moment for me. So I love Harold, my sage.
Well, thank you. The one that I'd throw out there, I don't remember who said it to me, but they made the statement, you can get, you can stay bitter or you can get better. And that's one that I've had to focus on, because there's a lot to be bitter about out there. And so step away from bitter, move towards better. Go to maskonjourney.org to register for the upcoming boot camp, November 17th through 20th. We'll talk to you next week.
This is the Truth Network.